Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome in, Busted Open Nation, professional wrestling fans here on a Saturday. It's time for another podcast edition of Busted Open Radio. I'm your weekend host, Ryan McKinnell, and joining me on this Saturday, as always, is the world's strongest man, Sexual Chocolate, Mark Henry, and we got a great best of edition of the podcast show here today for you listeners out there, including a full recap of SmackDown and the debut of a new faction calling themselves Retribution. I was a little shaky on the start. The debut felt a little Nexus-y, and then they brought out the chainsaws, and hey, what can I say? I'm a sucker for weaponry, and I ended up enjoying it. But check it out. Check out the full segments here, Mark Henry's thoughts, and get his perspective on where this new faction may be going. And that's not all. Of course, it is a Saturday show, so weekly winner is on tap, where we give you our best of in the week that was in professional wrestling. That's not all. We are also going to dive into the evolving storyline surrounding former NFL kicker Pat McAfee and Bebe himself, Adam Cole, the leader of the Undisputed Era. Obviously, we saw on Wednesday night on NXT that storyline is continuing, and it looks like we're headed for a showdown at SummerSlam. We're going to get into all of that and more here on the Best Of Edition, the podcast edition of Busted Open Radio. All you got to do is sit back, relax, click play on that browser and get it going. Let's go. Busted Open on a Saturday. Back to Retribution. The faction makes their debut last night on Friday Night SmackDown. They end the show. Wreck shop. Spray paint everything. Strip down the ring. Spray paint the ring. Beat up people ringside. And then take a chainsaw to the ropes. That was fun.
I don't know about fun. It was definitely something. It was, you noticed that people got the hell out of the way. I thought that was like the most glaring thing. When that chainsaw came out, you saw all the people around the ring disappear. It became a track meet.
Yeah. It's kind of the universal. That's like what a chainsaw does. I mean, everyone grew up on Scarface. You hear that. I'm gone. I'm good. I don't even touch that thing. I'm not a chainsaw guy. I'm not much of an axe guy. I'm not much of a chopping wood guy in general, but I would definitely use an axe before I use a chainsaw. I don't need a motorized limb chopper. Like I don't mess with that. And if a job requires a chainsaw, I'm calling somebody. That's it. Like if I can't do it with an axe, I'm out. I'm done.
Just saying. You got psychological scar just like me. Now I see it.
I don't trust it.
Finally, something that rattles. Too many. The hardened, calloused,
yeah,
tough guy, Ryan McKinnell.
Yes.
Chainsaws. Yeah.
As my Friday night was spent listening to Madonna and stroking my lovely bulldog, I am Mr. Machismo as I run from the chainsaw. I'm telling you, dude, I've always hated chainsaws. I think it's just I don't even know if it's Scarface. It's just like, what can go wrong with a chainsaw? It can slip. It's motorized. Everything. It's gasoline. It just, none of it makes sense. A gasoline driven chainsaw, like a chain on a bike. Anyway, I'm getting a little off topic. Very scary. Very scary. Shit got real when the chainsaw came out, but I do want to focus on where is this going? All right. Chainsaws aside, you know, maybe that'll be a hallmark of theirs. I don't know. You can do it. I wouldn't be against it. Certainly brought it up a notch. But obviously the talk mark around the wrestling world, at least in the last 24 hours now, and as fans tune in and listen to the show, who is in Retribution? And not even so much who is in Retribution, who could benefit from being in Retribution. I want to get your thoughts. We know you got a couple women in there. Naomi, as she has been, you know, Naomi deserves better. We all agree that she does. She would have a reason to be militant, to be pissed off. Again, she's a huge talent. She's a former champ. I don't know if that's a route you want to go with her. I don't know if she needs it necessarily, but Mark, the options are vast. There is certainly no limit to who we could be talking about. So give me your thoughts. Who would you like to see? Who do you think it
Man,
might be?
I wish that I had some time to think about this. who, you know what, man? I think Ali is one that really has a, can be put in there because of being the misused, the undervalued. There was talk about people that potentially could make a return to the WWE. It would be cool to see Fred Rosser.
Okay.
Or Darren Young. I mean, the list goes on of people that are not in being involved in major angles right now. But I think that where's the splash? Like, there's got to be a splash with who you bring into this. And some of it is people that's around. They're there, and they've been, you know, they've just been kind of swept under the rug. They've been treated sorely.
Yeah.
And now it's their turn to get back at you. I'll ruin you. I'll hit you where it hurts. And that's in your pockets.
Well, I'll say this. You brought up Mustafa Ali as a potential candidate. I would not fault Mustafa Ali for bringing a chainsaw down to the ring and destroying the entire set last night on Friday Night SmackDown. After I saw this headline from Main Event, I didn't watch Main Event, but Mustafa Ali went on Main Event and lost to Riddick blanking Moss. This is not an indictment on Riddick Moss. I don't know Riddick Moss. He seems to do some solid work. Fine. We know Ali. Ali was at one point rumored to be in a Main Event title feud with Daniel Bryan, obviously prior to the injury. Mustafa Ali has had, you know, serious shine at different points throughout his career. The fans seem to really have taken to Mustafa Ali. You have a man who people were very excited about his return a week or two ago or whatever the hell it was. He goes on the post show. He has that great promo back and forth talking about social justice and all that, which maybe that plays into Retribution. I'm not exactly sure, right? But the fact that you have this guy, you talk about the misuse of Ali. Unless this is a storyline, if this does lead to Retribution, okay, that makes sense. That's the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back, right? But when I saw that, I was absolutely disgusted, Mark. That makes no sense to me. So I'm not saying like, okay, I am hoping Ali is in Retribution for that reason, but he needs to be in Retribution for that reason, because if he's not, losing to Riddick Moss on Main Event is egregious. There's no reason for it. It's a straight slap.
Has he won yet? Ali.
He won in the tag. He won in the tag when he came back.
They put him in there with Bobby Lashley.
Right.
And, you know, he got another loss hung on him and just coming back. So, I mean,
man.
You know, I mean, of course, arguably the toughest guy in the company right now. There's no shame in a loss, but.
Yeah, but Riddick Moss ain't.
Riddick Moss is not. And, you know, they. I can't put an indictment down on them, but. I would have liked to seen somebody like him be treated a little bit more like a babyface, a true every sense of the word. And Tony Nese is another one that I like that I wish was used differently.
Yeah.
And I think he would be good in there. Man, I don't know. I mean, you start talking about the women, like we said, there's like 30.
Yeah. So it's really like take your pick almost.
Yeah. The top 10, we see them every week on all three brands.
Right.
But what about the other 20? Like you mentioned Naomi. Let's see. Let's you know, we have to maybe put down a list and, you know, do check boxes. Yes or no. go to junior high philosophy. Do we go together? Yes or no.
So,
I don't know. You enlighten.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what the draw is. That's what's going to keep us tuned in, right? We're obviously going to get reveals as the weeks, months go on. It's as you said. I think there's a real possibility that you bring back some returning faces. You brought up Darren Young. I hadn't thought about Darren Young in a very long time, but that would be a very interesting sort of pairing. There's a lot of different options. I guess the question I'll throw to you as we end this segment, and then I do want to get back and start talking about the women. Mark, is how long do you think this goes on before someone steps up and challenges Retribution, right, to stop chainsawing the ropes and wrecking shop? And when do you think we start getting some reveals? And where do you think this heads into, at least in terms of SummerSlam? Obviously, this is happening because of SummerSlam. This is a Big Four event that's happening in a couple weeks. What do you make of all this?
Well, as you know, Retribution has shown his face on all three brands.
Yeah.
So how about Monday we have Retribution take over the Underground?
Okay.
I mean, they take over Raw Underground and leave everybody laying, Hurt Business included. And we have another chainsaw incident against one of those steel poles or something. I'm all for it, man. Like, keep me interested.
Well, I can't wait, Mark, for about an hour here. We're going to get into Weekly Winner, a little bit less than an hour at this point. And we will get back more into Raw Underground because I have some thoughts on that. And then, yeah, let's swing back on what a Retribution invasion of Underground would look like, because that sounds a little bit interesting. And as you said, Mark, this faction has appeared on all three brands, so I wouldn't entirely rule it out.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
We had a little bit of an impromptu promo from Stephanie McMahon, also joining the show via Zoom or via cell phone or via whatever the hell it was, like Braun Strowman, having a little bit of an interaction with Sasha and Bayley, more so in this case, directed at Bayley. She was kind of setting the law, setting the record straight, laying down the law, and she dropped this nugget on us, Mark, that next week we are going to have a three-way triple brand Battle Royal on Friday Night SmackDown. That means, obviously, anybody from Raw, SmackDown, or NXT can win this Battle Royal and challenge Bayley for the strap at SummerSlam. So, Mark, this is similar to when we were talking about Retribution. I want to kind of fantasy book this, right? Obviously, it's the entire roster at the disposal of the WWE here. This is a big match. Obviously, with Bayley headed into SummerSlam, this is your arguably your marquee women's match. Who would you like to see? Who would you like to see take the Battle Royal win? Because it gets interesting, obviously, with all three brands. We can pretty much fantasy book anybody. So Rhea Ripley's on the menu.
High on my list.
Yeah, Bianca Belair is on the menu. I would imagine also high on our list. Let's just say right there. Let's start the argument there, or the conversation, I should say. Lacey Evans is right there. Let's just take those two right now, Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley, because I think those would both be awesome choices. Who would you rather see in a match against Bayley at SummerSlam between those two?
Who would I rather see, Bayley? You know what, man? I really do like Bianca Belair. She's been kind of off the radar,
right?
And I think this would be a time. And I want Rhea Ripley to change her hair back, and I want her to not be worried about so much talking the talk, but walking the walk like she did before. Dance with the date that you brought.
Mm.
She was an ass kicker. She never pulled any punches. She never gave a damn about whether or not she won the title. She just wanted to destroy the person that was in the ring with her.
Yeah.
And they went away from that somehow. Like, I want to see her get back to her stomp somebody in the ground days. And if the match is DQ'd, then the match is DQ'd. But I want her to get back to being an ass kicker.
Also, what are you investing in, right, in terms of Rhea? This is a woman who had a top billing match at WrestleMania, right? And then ever since has kind of just been a little lukewarm, right? And maybe that's a lack of a crowd. Maybe you want to wait to push her to the moon until, you know, you're back in front of a live audience, because I do think she has that. Like, she is a very live audience oriented talent. She just has a lot of energy. And I think she just seems to have that. Another thing she has, she's young. We know that about Rhea. She's the future. No, there is no rush, but there is also the fact that you did push her early and you want to capitalize on that. Like, you told us that she was a commodity. I don't feel like she's a commodity right now. And yes, she's young. So there is time, and I'm not worried about that. And another thing about Rhea, her body, she is massive in a good way. I know she catches flack. Like, she's talked about it. Like, people, you know, troll her and give her shit. First of all, I think she's beautiful. In terms of the looks department, I think she's an absolute stunner. Blonde hair, black hair, do not care. I love Rhea, but I mean, I literally mean status, stature, like Charlotte. Like, when she's in the ring,
yeah.
No disrespect to Sasha, no disrespect to Alexa, but there are levels, right? And Charlotte and Rhea, they're big. So I can move absolutely. Yes.
Like, really athletic and have good balance. Like, there's no weakness. You know, the only weakness is there's not enough time for everybody. That's the only weakness.
Yep. And you're absolutely right. She is young. We are going to be seeing plenty of Rhea Ripley going forward. So maybe that's not the person you put in there. Maybe it is Bianca, or maybe, Mark, it's someone we just talked about to start the show, and this was in terms of retribution.
Naomi.
Someone who's got a bone to pick, right? That can go two ways. You can go the heel way with retribution, and you can have her go on an entirely new storyline, or you can have her on the trajectory that she's been on for seemingly feels like a freaking decade, which is the fun, high-energy baby face with the great moveset and highly athletic and just all the things that we love from Naomi, the entire package. She could win this battle royal, Naomi Bailey at SummerSlam, especially if the story is told in a moving, grabbing sort of way with the battle royal. You could set Naomi up perfectly here. I'm right there with you, big man.
Yeah, there's so many options. But that would be a really good one. That'll be one that people could get behind. And nobody's going to scoff at it because the matches have been great.
Or
a surprise.
There you go.
New entrant. Somebody that's been away for a little while.
How little?
I heard mumblings.
You say a little while, and I think Charlotte Flair. You hearing rumblings about Charlotte Flair, or are we talking someone else?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm hearing rumblings of a Hall of Famer. Somebody that's not been around for a while.
Really?
And that would be Delita.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. Well, would that not make sense heading into SummerSlam? It's a pandemic. You want to, you know, we've talked about ratings a lot on this show, right? Certainly WWE is trying to create some interest and get, you know, people excited. Hey, Lita.
Bridge the gap between the old and the new.
Yep. Headed into a
you
big
serve event. More than one master.
Yep. I like it.
Yeah.
And she's looked, you know, we've seen obviously Lita. We've seen Lita back in the last few years. And I don't want to say she hasn't skipped a beat, because of course,
she's never disappointing.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. She's not the same Lita, but she can still give you compelling storylines, get your heart rate up, and make you invested in a match. And yeah, yep. If she comes in, surprise moment, lead it into SummerSlam, it would also stick with the timeline, right? She doesn't have to invest herself in a big storyline. She can come in, she can give a boost to SummerSlam, give a boost to our memories. There you go. That's right. He can't see it. Mark's doing the old...
Dust your hands off and goodbye.
Exactly.
Out the door.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
The landscape of pro wrestling is evolving, which means more options for fans.
So many activities!
Mark Henry and Ryan McKinnell are here to answer the difficult questions. What was the best show this week?
If you ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
Yeah, pro wrestling fans, you hear the music. You know what it is, Nation. It's hour two on a Saturday. It is weekly winter time here on Busted Open. I am Ryan McKinnell. That is, of course, the world's strongest man, WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry. If you don't mind, big man, I'm going to go first this week. Sound good?
Oh, go ahead on with your bad self.
All right, let's get into it. First of all, we talked about it. Great week in professional wrestling. I'd put Raw at the bottom. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't have good things to talk about or positive takeaways. Obviously, the story that dominated Monday Night Raw was Raw Underground. And we can get into that a little bit here, Mark, because obviously I think most listeners out there know that I've got a long history in mixed martial arts and I've covered that sport for, I've moved out here to Vegas close to 14 years now, wrote for Yahoo Sports. I got the show with Misha Tate here on this very channel every Wednesday. Check it out. Shameless plug, MMA Tonight. But that was clearly the Raw Underground, an attempt to bring some realism, to blur the lines, to have a little bit of a mixed martial arts influence on the show. We know Shane McMahon is a big MMA fan. We saw it a little bit implemented in some of the verbiage they were using in terms of, you saw your boy MVP. He threw a great judo throw in there, went right into full mount, was raining down some mounted punches, and then threw the short elbows. You know, blending a little bit of the realism. Mark, I'm just going to tell you from my standpoint on the Raw Underground, and I completely, completely recognize that I am not necessarily the viewer that WWE is trying to appeal to. So I am in a very specific niche, and that is obviously with my background with the sport and following the sport for as long as I have. It didn't hit with me, right? I fear from my own personal standpoint, it was because of the blurring of the lines. I like my pro wrestling as pro wrestling, and I like my MMA as MMA. When you try to blur those lines, it gets a little bit insulting to me, right? Like I know what I'm watching and what I'm not, and it's okay. We can be goofy and we've talked about it. I'm all for getting weird in the pandemic era. I just think this needs some tweaking. I'm not out on Raw Underground, mind you. I'm not sitting here washing my hands of it and saying this is trash and I'll never watch it again. It's just the initial knee-jerk reaction. It was a little bit convoluted to me, right? But I do understand the WWE's trying to do different things and they're trying to make it more interesting and they're trying to, like, again, think outside the box. I'm just saying for the first incarnation of it on Monday, Mark, it didn't exactly hit for me, right? I would like to keep those things separate. Let me put it this way. The most MMA that I would like to see in pro wrestling is like a Hell's Gate submission, right? Like a go-go plata from Undertaker. when you start doing the underground kumite, I think it can get really dangerous. And also it just kind of happened. Oh, here's Shane. Oh, we've got this underground fight pit. And here's the other thing, Mark, because as we saw on Monday Night Raw, the Hurt Business ends Raw Underground, right? They come in, they wreck shop. It's this whole thing. If Raw Underground as in place of the New Nation, because we had heard that potentially they were going to do a New Nation domination, that was an avenue they were going to go. A new faction was debuting. That's what they were teasing on Monday Night Raw. They call it the Hurt Business. If this is what they're doing instead of the Nation of Domination, I'm just going to be frank with you, Mark, that pisses me off because I was extremely invested in the hopes of something like that happening. And if this is the pivot into something like this, it's going to be hard for me to come back from. But again, not to get too long-winded here, as we've already went in for a little bit, I do fear or I do hope and realize that there's still more legs on this and it can be salvageable. I didn't get to hear the show from this week, Mark. So before we get in and actually give the weekly winner, I do want to get your thoughts on Raw Underground and what your takeaway from that was and your reaction to what I said.
Well, I'm going to give you the reaction to what I said. When I get to my weekly winner, I'll break down where I can really show you where you dropped the ball.
Okay, I like it. All right.
You said that you like your MMA one way and you like your wrestling another way. Mm-hmm. And you're entitled to that. But in the real world that we all live in, we don't get to make the decision on the way that our entertainment gets delivered. We have to accept what we see, digest it, and if it's for us, it's for us. But we can't call in and go, "Hey, I don't like this. Change it. Put it back the way." Like
that's
so
true.
That being said, like we can't cast judgment in one episode and expect for that to change because we want it to change. Because I always say you can want in one hand and pee in the other and see which one fill up first.
Right. And listen, it's not like we as pro wrestling fans haven't been wrong before. Myself, as a pro wrestling fan, it's not like not the be all end all in terms of, you know, vision and what the future holds. Right. I thought the New Day was going to fail. Most everyone thought the New Day was going to fail when they debuted. It was a mess. It was a mess, certainly not the New Day that we see today. And, you know, within a few months, it had totally taken shape and hold, and it was a completely different monster than it was when it debuted, and now it's arguably the most successful faction of all time. So Raw Underground didn't hit with me initially, but again, I applaud the company for trying something new and going all in with it. That's one thing. They were pulling no punches. This is something they're clearly invested in. Shane is clearly invested in, and it's a new aesthetic, and we will see how it goes. Listen, I know there were a lot of people that were that liked it. I saw it on social media. There were a lot of people coming to the defense of the segment. It did pretty good numbers in terms of ratings. So I guarantee you, Mark, and we've already seen the tease, we're going to be seeing plenty more of it. So that obviously was a big story on Monday Night Raw. SmackDown, fine show. But again, the last couple of weeks, Mark, when we did Weekly Winner, for those that haven't maybe tuned in, it went back to back to main roster shows. 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we had SmackDown. And then 2 weeks ago, last week, we had Raw or vice versa, whatever the hell it was. This week, I'm jumping back to Wednesday nights. First of all, NXT, really solid show. We can dive into that here as this second hour gets going. Plenty to talk about in regards to NXT, including Pat McAfee and Adam Cole continuing their story. So we'll jump into that. But Mark, we got to get to it because I'm sitting here taking up too much time, I feel like. My weekly winner, it's the company that has won my weekly winner a lot here on Busted Open on this Saturday show, and it is AEW, All Elite Wrestling on Wednesday night. I didn't know how I was going to like exactly going with the political themes and some of the stuff they did because we saw it a little bit from MJF a week ago. We swung back on it this week, Mark. We had great matches with AEW. That is usually the case with AEW, but I loved Eric Bischoff showing up again. I loved the debate between Orange Cassidy and Chris Jericho and the legs it gave Orange Cassidy and the character it building it did for Orange Cassidy. I absolutely am over the moon with Jon Moxley and his promo before the Darby Allin match, which I felt like was a callback to Moxley CZW days. The way he got brought up, it was real. It was steeped in reality. We talk about it. Those are the best promos. It built real interest towards the main event, and the main event delivered. I loved Moxley and Darby. I thought it was a great story. I thought it was a great show. I thought AEW really set themselves apart from the pack this week. And sometimes it's not like that, Mark, right? Sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes it's very, very close. It was close, but I wouldn't say it was very, very close this week. NXT and AEW were close. I just thought AEW, for my personal taste, Mark, they get weekly winner. I thought it was a great show. What say you, pal?
Well, let's stay with the most relevant deal that we just witnessed in that SmackDown. SmackDown was a good show last night. It was very entertaining. Always say judge a show by walkaway moments. Like, man, I'm gonna go give something to drink. Or I'm gonna go to the bathroom, and not being able to. There was a couple of walkaway moments last night.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we got a new reveal, which I always like reveals. I always like new stuff. We got to see more interaction with the Fiend, which is always good. The show started off gangbusters. Sheamus match with Matt Riddle was, I could probably say, one of the most interesting matches of the week.
Yes.
It's just a single one-on-one match. It was hard to beat. And I really enjoyed that show. And you want to go to AEW. AEW is AEW. They have become a main event player over the last 6 months. And they've only been around, what, 9 months?
Yeah.
Like, to be in that conversation with the best shows in the world of wrestling in 9 months, like, is damn amazing. And Chris Jericho is kind of the foundation for that success. Once again, he and Orange Cassidy, with Eric Bischoff, no less, being the moderator between the two guys, I thought was very good. Chris was very good. Eazy-E, as you refer to him, did a good job of being the moderator and selling everybody's points. Orange Cassidy came out the recipient of a good rub from Chris, talking for the first time, being passionate, taking an ass whooping that it's got to pay off next week. Really balanced show. MJF and his exploits, the tag matches with Ortiz and what's my guy's name?
Santana. Yeah.
Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara. Good. Very good. And some people gave it flack because Sammy threw a chair haphazardly. Listen, he threw a chair haphazardly at a dude that has jumped off of stuff that stuntmen shouldn't jump off of.
It's true.
I can't co-sign for that. Listen, it is what it is. Pro wrestling is not ballet, even though, you know, I respect ballet, but you don't get hit with a clothesline in ballet, basically, or put through a table or have a chair thrown in your face as you're doing a stag leap. NXT did such a good job of having balance between entertainment and pro wrestling. Really good balance. The matches, stellar. Told great stories. Nobody looked like they were always in the dominant role. Keith Lee is getting better at slowing down and letting his work take hold and of the fan. Sometimes he moved too fast. And still, with Mr. Grimes, I could tell he really likes working with him, and he likes him as a human being, because he gets to do stuff with Keith Lee that Keith Lee only should do with big guys. And I've said something about this before, and I'm done talking about it because it's so good that it don't matter anyway. It's like a waste of time talking about it. The promos were really good and entertaining, and you didn't have a moment on NXT or AEW where you just went to the bathroom or you went and got a drink or a snack. That's how I judge them. Both shows, B-plus show. SmackDown, B-plus show. But there was only one show that got an A. Complete polar opposite from you. Saying that Raw was the last place show.
Yep.
When you had Randy Orton give a promo that I'm like, where in the hell is he digging this from his soul? Where is it coming from? He's I thought he was at the end of his career, not in the middle.
Yeah.
And then right behind it, the champ, he cuts a promo that made you go, damn, oh, is that what we're doing now? We're trying to one-up each other. We're one-upping each other? Ric Flair is standing there. Ric Flair didn't have to say anything. These were Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes-esque promos in the same segment. You have a backstage with Kevin Owens and Ric Flair that was stellar.
I really liked that.
Perspective.
I loved that. I thought Ric was... it's Ric Flair, but yeah, I mean, it's hit or miss because I feel like they plug and play him and maybe he's not always in 100% with what he's doing. This Randy Orton, you know, affiliate sort of deal and what he's doing, especially and involved with a guy like Kevin Owens. I thought they played off each other wonderfully.
Which leads me to what I thought was second on the show compared to the promo segment.
Okay.
With Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. I was disjointed in the fact that you had MVP lose a match to Apollo Crews, but I could get over that. It's wrestling. That you have a segment with Shelton Benjamin and R-Truth where Shelton actually gets a loss the same night that MVP gets a loss.
Right.
But I digress. Can't win them all. And then you see the buildup from the beginning of the show with the giant monster of a man standing outside Shane McMahon's office, keeping people from coming in. And then you have what we were introduced to as WWE Underground or Raw Underground. It's been a while since the WWE allowed on the flagship show to be shown more of an adult, teenage interest feel opportunity. There's some 30-year-old guys that have been in the pandemic for a while that hadn't seen a girl dancing on a stage in a while.
Shout out to Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B.
Yeah, shout out.
And thank you, ladies.
The introduction, they couldn't have picked a better guy to start with Baba. Baba's an unbelievable talent. Looks like is a mountain of a man. And if he was walking on the side of the street late at night that you were walking on, you'd probably change your side of the street. And
jaywalk.
Jaywalk like a son of a gun.
Yes.
And the work was good. And there's stuff to be desired. I believe that if you're going to have Fight Club, it shouldn't look like wrestling. I mean, there's elements of wrestling, yeah, and elements of jujitsu and mixed martial arts. And I can't agree with you that you should separate the two because, you know, just 60 years ago, pro wrestling looked more like what happened last night than it did the way wrestling looks today.
Yeah.
And I would like to see it be a little bit more rustic. And seeing Dolph Ziggler and seeing the Viking Raiders and seeing the Hurt Business be involved was cool. But I think that this is an opportunity to introduce new people and people that have something to prove. You got Tony Nese. Put some blue jeans and a wife beater on, your combat boots, and go out there and show me if Tony Nese could be a monster, if he could fight, if he could take a punch. This is the opportunity to show a couple of guys get waffled. And they stagger up, but win because of perseverance. Tell stories. Don't just have people mashing together. But nonetheless, we got something different. Everybody always, it's the same old thing. And we saw that 2 months ago. Nobody saw this coming.
Yep, you're absolutely
right. You didn't need a big buildup when you get something new. You don't complain, oh, my God, you bought me a car?
Well,
so
I
had three shows.
Okay.
Three shows that got B pluses. But as you know, there can only be one.
That is true.
And the A minus went to Raw.
Wow.
And
you swerved
me. If you're not first, you're last.
I like it. All right. Big man, Mark Henry, the world's strongest man with the swerve here on a weekly winner, giving his winner to Monday Night Raw. All right. All right. I like it. I like it. That's a good jumping off point, too, because I feel like we just barely peeled back the layers of this proverbial onion here on weekly winner. So my weekly winner goes to AEW. Mark's weekly winner goes to Monday Night Raw. Congrats to both brands.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
So we just gave the weekly winner. You gave it to Monday Night Raw. I gave it to AEW. One thing that keeps popping up as I look and think back over the week from Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton, Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy, to Jon Moxley, to Bray Wyatt, and everything in between, this really felt like the week of the promo. Just so many good damn promos littered throughout the pro wrestling world. So we talked about Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton pretty much ad nauseum. We were talking about it, though, in the break in terms of what Randy Orton has been doing since essentially April. We haven't been getting a lot of in-ring from Randy, but we have been getting an absolute shit ton of promo work, and it's not getting old. We've listened to Randy Orton, the Viper, cut promos for seemingly, it feels like 20 years. I know it hasn't exactly been 20, but it's been a very long time. And to hear him essentially only do that for the last 4 months, 5 months, whatever it's been, and to still be engaged and to still be invested, what a tip of the cap to the Viper, man. I haven't always been in his corner. I've talked about
Ryan,
that.
But the matches that he's had has been ridiculous.
Yes, they have. Yep.
You cannot take away from
the
matches that he's had. No. It's just that Randy has become so valuable on the microphone, selling what I'm going to do to you, how I'm going to do it, and it lets you know that ain't nothing you could do to stop it.
It's true.
This is a train going 80 miles an hour, and you are on the tracks. Good luck with that. That's Randy. That's Randy right now.
Yep.
He's letting you know that it's inevitable what's about to happen to you. And that's what we like, because we see him backing up what he says. That's pro wrestling. The guy that talks the noise, if you don't back it up, people are like, whatever, you didn't say that when you were getting choked out by something. But you can't. And Randy is doing the best job in the world of pro wrestling from a mic standpoint. And that is saying a lot with the likes of MVP and the likes of Chris Jericho and the likes of MJF. We had a couple of, you know, kind of impromptu appearances from guys cutting promos where we were like, whoa, that was heavy. But no one, and I mean no one, is giving your brain a punch into submission like Randy Orton is.
And he's elevating Drew McIntyre. He's giving serious ammo to Drew McIntyre to feed off of and to make me as a fan sit back and be like, oh, shit, look at that fire under Drew. Look at that added layer to Drew McIntyre. Essentially, Mark, he's doing exactly what a guy like Randy Orton should do.
He's doing exactly what he should do. And I love the banter on NXT this week between Pat McAfee and Beth Phoenix and with Mark.
That was great. Wasn't that great?
It was great, man. It reminded me of old school. And he's like, well, what did I do? I wasn't trying to listen. It's Pat. You know what you're doing. When people incite a riot because they're smart and they cannot say, hey, I don't trust your judgment. But you say it in a way where, Are you trying to shed doubt on the fact that I don't know what I'm talking about? It was masterful. And you cannot back out of a fight by saying, but I didn't even know that. I'm a host. It reminds me of Dave Chappelle in the car with his friend and the cop going, hey, you can't do that. But I didn't know I couldn't do that.
He's talking about his buddy Chip. I'm sorry. I didn't know I couldn't do that.
But I did know.
And hey, man, you're not kidding about McAfee and the way he kind of was the ringleader in that. That back and forth between it was the entire booth. As you said, Mara was in on that. Beth Phoenix just absolutely was tops, was aces in that back and forth. Now I'll say this, that kept me mildly engaged. I was like, all right, but the entire time
you were
I was, but I'll tell you what really took it to the next level is we're talking about McAfee and Cole. I still think it was a shoot that was turned into a win. I still believe that. I still believe This is something that the WWE saw happen. There was some natural miscommunication, animosity. They recognized that, hey, McAfee, we're heading into SummerSlam. There's history there. Maybe they had plans on it getting a little testy, but the actual way it went, I still don't think that was entirely planned. I don't know. Either way, it doesn't matter. We have what we have now. It's Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee at SummerSlam. I thought the stuff between Phoenix and Pat was good while it was happening, but I still wasn't completely sold. I really got sold after Cole and McAfee were mixing it up. I still wasn't even entirely in. It took for H to come out, Michaels to come out, then McAfee to go up to Cole, essentially call him a little bitch, and then punt him in the face as they were trying to get at each other. But then it was the sell job by Cole. Cole sold the absolute shit out of that kick, and it reminded you that, hey, you know what? This guy did play in the NFL, and yeah, if he was going to knock someone out, I guess it would come via a kick. There was some continuity there. You know, McAfee held his own into the point to where it was better than a lot of other celebrity appearances. You know what? I was off board with it. I didn't want to see it. If you would have told me 2 weeks ago that McAfee versus Cole would have happened at SummerSlam, I would have detested it. I would have been, you know, crying and kicking my feet and totally losing my mind. The longest reigning NXT champion taking on a kicker. You know what? They actually, you know what? They kind of sold me on Wednesday night. So props to them.
Listen, man, the dude is 230 pounds. He's 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah.
He was a pro athlete. If you ever watched his show, he is good at everything. You see him in his gym playing basketball. You see him doing cornhole. You see him arm wrestling some random guy. And you see him doing all of these things. And he does a lot of things well because he is an athlete. He chose to be a kicker. This whole thing about kickers being, you know, subpar athletes is bullshit. My brother, All-American football player, he was our kicker. You look at somebody like Sebastian Janikowski. The dude did 225 21 times. 21 times. Go try it. He's a kicker. I mean, granted, he was a 275-pound kicker, but still, he was a kicker. He made as many tackles as any kicker in history because he wanted to. And he realized, I'm an athlete and I'm big and I don't care. So Pat McAfee was that guy. He was the kicker of the decade. The punter of the decade. And made tackles. There's some videos. Go and look up Pat McAfee making tackles, taking people's heads off. These NFL pros at other positions, and you ridicule him and trivialize his abilities. He's a man first. We're prideful. We want to show you the worst mistake that Adam Cole could have made was when he said, you talk about me needing help? You were a punter.
Well, hey, isn't that what's great about the storyline? Isn't that what's great about this storyline, though, Mark, that there are so many similarities between the punter?
They're being petty.
Well, no, but there's so many similarities between the punter, Pat McAfee, and the undersized champion in Adam Cole. They both have massive chips on their shoulder, and they both probably feel like they should be taken more seriously. So there is actually some continuity from a storyline standpoint, a psychology standpoint, that you can get behind in this match.
Yeah, and they parallel each other and don't realize that they parallel each other. Eventually, it's going to come out, hey, man, all of that shit happened between us, it's over with. Because you were right, but I was right too. We both have had... How good a manager would Pat McAfee make for Adam Cole?
Now that's interesting. I don't know if he needs it. But it's not always a matter about needing. Sometimes it's just a matter of,
it's
as
about
we talked about,
want and opportunity.
Well, that, but the star power and the continuity and the similarities between their career arcs and the role of a punter. And but I think that's very touchy. Like, I'm not saying don't do it, but with Cole, we've talked about it, Mark. He's the next Shawn Michaels. Cole has real juice. If you do it, be careful, because I don't want to see anything mess with the legitimacy and the run that he's on. And I'm not saying McAfee would. I'm not saying that. In fact, it could add to it. It just has to be done right. I'm really interested to see how SummerSlam plays out, because it involves a really integral piece and chip in the WWE universe, and that is Adam Cole. And they're going off the beaten path. So I'm really interested to see where it goes and what type of story they tell.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.